Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowd, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all throughout the wheat, and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' His slaves said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' He replied, 'No. If you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He proposed another parable to them. 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches.' He spoke to them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened.' All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world.' Then, dismissing the crowds, he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He said in reply, 'He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Where's the gospel? Where's sin? Go ahead. Go around me. You can go around me. Backside me. There we go. So I've been keeping an eye on a tomato plant that was gifted to me and which I've been trying to grow in a pot. So I placed the pot in a bed amongst some other of our plantings to give it exposure to the sun. It's also in a handy location so I can keep it watered. This past week, as I was doing one of my waterings, I noticed new little plants sprouting up all among some of our other plants. Now, I've never been one of those leaf identification experts, but my gut told me I ought to look these leaves up. And so a quick Google image search confirmed my gut instinct: poison ivy. We've never had poison ivy before. How did it get here amongst our good plants? Who put it here? Well, this sounds kind of similar to the first of our 3 parables in our gospel that we hear from Jesus today, where when weeds are found intermixed with the good seed that was sowed in the field. Although Jesus grounds these stories in language and illustrations that were more easily understood by his audience, These three parables that he gives us today are Jesus' approach of telling us about the kingdom of God and of the nature of the church on earth and in heaven. Jesus lets us know that while the church was established and continues to be sowed with good seed of believers, we should not get disheartened or even lose faith should we come to recognize bad seed or people within the church of Christ that don't speak and or act in ways consistent with our Christian faith. Even within the 12, there was Judas. Jesus pretty much tells us that at least in the visible church here on earth, we're going to come across these bad seeds. And just as the master servants did, we tend to want to jump to the solution of identifying and pulling those weeds. I'll share a couple problematic challenges with that instinctual reaction of ours. First, pointing out the weeds places us in a position of judgment. We are able to see the outward appearances of others and likely would act in rash and perhaps even incorrect ways. But God sees the heart and knows His will for each one of us. Might we be interfering with God's plan for others? Secondly, if we look in the mirror, we ourselves might have a little bit of noxious weed traits in each one of us that God's continuing to try to perfect. And that as well helps to explain why it's not our role to pull up those bad weeds. Yes, they may very well be intertwined among the good seed, but might the influence of the good help in perfecting the bad? In fact, our third parable in the gospel speaks of the leaven of the bread batch and maybe how the presence of a small amount of yeast, a good ingredient needed for bread, helps to leaven the entire batch of flour. God may likely use the presence of the good leaven within the church to help reform others over time. And time is also why Jesus tells us to leave the weeds alone. If we take the steps to remove the bad weeds in our time, we are not only acting as God in judgment, but also artificially cutting short the time for repentance that God is allowing for all. This is even a justification for the church's teaching on capital punishment. We shouldn't be taking the lives of others because we may be cutting short their time for repentance and conversion. But Jesus does tell us that there will be a final judgment and that the good and the bad will be separated, but that we should continue to place our faith and hope in His church. And our first reading from the Book of Wisdom should comfort us in knowing that God will judge with clemency and govern us with leniency. For our part, we must be kind with others, which gives us the hope of repentance for our own sins. And then the other parable that Jesus spoke regards that tiny mustard seed, one of the tiniest seeds that sprouts and grows into the largest of bushes and provides a home within its branches for all the birds of the air. All from one little seed. We can compare this story with the visible church. Jesus Himself, though fully God, was also an individual man that gave His life for us. Like the grain of wheat that must fall into the earth and die to provide its bounty, Jesus died for us and can be likened to that tiny mustard seed. That through the piercing of His side on the cross, the church was born. And from this one man has grown to the largest bush of faith in the world. As well as in leaving us the Holy Spirit, Jesus has allowed the church to prevail over the gates of hell over the past two millennia, as well as forward to that final judgment. These are the words of Paul to the Romans, where we are assured that the Spirit comes to our aid, helps us pray when we struggle with weakness and the presence of evil around us, and yet the intention of the Spirit is always to do God's will. My brothers and sisters, as I prepare to kill off my poison ivy that's quickly multiplying through my plant bed, I do recognize the risk of harm that this is going to cause to my other plants. But in our reflecting on the parable of the bad seed sown among the good, and the frustration of sometimes seeing this in our church, we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, temper our judgmental instincts, while remaining open to the continuing opportunities for our own conversion and repentance, and in asking for God's forgiveness when we ourselves might be the ones being perfected.